Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon, very much. Oh, my. Just one of those days. The 1st of November, we're recording the show. It's, let's see, 11-1-11. And there is power in numbers. Did you ever think about that? And coming up this month, 11-11-11, which will be really a kick. I am Trish Hennessy. This is a show all about hybrid jazz. What does that mean? Dave told you, but I'll tell you again. It means that we like to play straight ahead. We like to play contemporary. Anything that falls in those really cool cracks in between, the right kind of vocals. Some surprises along the way. Global elements. Oh, we love them. And this is going to be a real kick of a show. Not only great music, but a tribute to a jazz icon. That word gets tossed around a little bit too much for my taste, but this is the case. Even though this man only lived 25 years on this earth, he packed more in those years than most three times his age. You will see for yourself when you hear Clifford Brown coming up momentarily. And don't forget, next hour it's going to be the one, the only, the very gifted Greg Manning. One of the hardest decisions ever was to figure out what tunes I would play for that hour. Shall we go? Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy starts now. Enjoy.
Thank you.
no complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams and placing bets. But I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you've got. I had my share. I drank my fill. And even though I'm satisfied, I'm hungry still to see what's down another road beyond a hill. And do it all again. So here's to life. And every joy it brings, so here's to life, to dreamers and their dreams. Funny how the time just flies. Our love can go from warm hellos to sad goodbyes and leave you with the memories you've memorized to keep your winters warm. For there's no yes in yesterday, and who knows what tomorrow brings or takes away. As long as I'm still in the game, I want to play for laughs, for life, for love. So here's to life and every joy it brings. Here's to life for dreamers and their dreams. Thank you.
so unearthly beautiful. Oh, my. Considered to be one of the finest jazz albums ever recorded. Here's to Life, Shirley Horn. Amazing. We lost Shirley in 2005, actually October 20th of that date, and just the pride of D.C. One of those ladies, formidable, huge talent on piano and vocally, knew how to caress a song, great relationship with Miles Davis. Miles first saw her back in 1960, and he was hooked. And apparently he had passed away, and the idea was for Miles to be on the CD. Wynton Marsalis stepped in on trumpet instead. Johnny Mandel arranged that beautiful piece there. Johnny Mandel, who has just thrilled people for years. And I first got to know his work via The Sandpiper, The Shadow of Your Smile. Remember the film and the movie? The movie and the song. My God, just what a talent to know to handle a voice and how to handle strings and where goes what at what time. I just love that. Shirley Horn, bless her. 1992 for that CD. And we also heard Michael A. Thomas and his quintet. And I love Michael's website, jazzhead1z.com. Benny Golson wrote that tune. It's called I Remember Clifford, as in Clifford Brown. And just so many people were so spent after they heard the news that Clifford Brown, at the age of 25, had passed away suddenly in a car crash. And I'll get to that in a second. But you have to know a little bit about Michael A. Thomas. Also D.C.-based, but by way of Las Vegas first, and then went to Grambling State, and then went to upstate New York, and found his way to D.C. in 1993. And this is so cool because he got hooked on music at a very young age. He saw the Grambling State marching band on TV. Both his parents had gone there, and they were excited because he was excited. And then Michael went to Grambling State, and wasn't involved really in jazz until late into his teens. And when he finally latched on, oh my God, you get Michael A. Thomas in a conversation about straight ahead jazz, he will burn your ears. On that particular track from It Is What It Is, the rest of the guys are Zach Grady on tenor sax, Darius Scott on piano, Kent Miller bass, Frank Williams IV on drums, and Roger Buckhill on tenor sax, Michael Thomas on trumpet. And who did he admire? One of the greats in trumpet, in jazz, Clifford Brown. Born October the 30th, 1930, passed away on the 26th of June, 1956. Just amazing talent. Clifford with Max Roach on that to start the song set out. I Get a Kick Out of You, the Cole Porter tune from Brown and Roach Incorporated. Incorporated meaning George Morrow on bass, the underrated Harold Land on bop sax, and Richie Powell, the younger brother of Bud. Clifford Brown, clean living, never a word about any controversy concerning him. Married young, married his beautiful LaRue, and had a very respected following, playing with everybody in his mama, knew how to do riffs at a rapid pace, and deeply expressive on ballads. Brownie was beloved, and there he was, 25 years old, on a gig from Philly to Chicago, west of Bedford on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Nancy Powell, the wife of Richie Powell, was at the wheel, and she lost control of the car in the rain, and all three were killed on the second wedding anniversary of Clifford's and on the birthday of LaRue. She turned 22 that day. Can you imagine? Just Clifford Brown did more in his 25 years than most people can dream of doing. And affected most trumpet players that consider themselves jazz-oriented. And I think that I can say that safely. Clifford Brown, we really miss you, and we have to take note that he was born in Wilmington, Delaware. And anytime you go to Wilmington, people talk about Clifford Brown each year. That Clifford Brown Jazz Festival is just the bomb, just amazing. And we all knew about him in Philly, where I grew up, because Philly and Wilmington are so close, and people go back and forth all the time. Yeah, Clifford Brown. Well, we heard Shirley Horn, and I thought we'd turn our attention to another vocalist, completely different, by the way, and not really considered jazz at all, but she had an album that was a few years ago. If the title, Am I Not Your Girl, rings a bell, then you know I'm talking about Sinead O'Connor. We're going to have Greg Manning next hour, but in the meantime, let's do a decidedly different interpretation of this controversial Irish artist's Black Coffee. Check it out on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. That's what I'm talking about. The first day of November, you want to hear a song like that, right? Larry Carlton, Smiles and Smiles to Go, from Alone, But Never Alone, back in 1986. It's just hard to believe. Larry Carlton on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Just found out something about Larry. Now, I'm going to tell you that in a second. I want you to know, though, I'm so happy about this because, first of all, Larry lives where I used to live, around Nashville, Tennessee, and he is going to be doing something. Hopefully this is still in the scheduling process. He's going to be doing a benefit closer to home with Christopher Cross in early December. Now, that's going to be at Green's Grocery in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. You folks who live around the Franklin area, hoo-hoo! Larry hangs out with Michael McDonald there, and there is a very large jazz fringe in Nashville. Don't think it's all country music, because I'm here to tell you, that ain't the truth, okay, y'all? But I have to say, I'm so proud of Larry because he's got this new CD out. Larry Carlton Plays the Sound of Philadelphia. Hello. And if you didn't know, Larry is a California native, living in Tennessee now, of course. But I was just so intrigued to find out, because I love doing research for these different artists. Some things I've known for a while, some things I find out, and then you read it a second or third time and you go, oh! Well, his big influences were, as you might suspect, Wes Montgomery, Joe Pass, B.B. King, and John Coltrane. He liked the way that Train played, and he felt like in his deeper most regions of his mind for creativity, he thought maybe I could transfer what Coltrane does on sax to guitar. Whatever he did or is doing is cool. Just so you know, he has been with the Crusaders. Just to give you just a brief synopsis of Larry, Joni Mitchell just adored him when he worked with her. And if you had ever heard that guitar riff on Steely Dan's Charlemagne, that's Larry Carlton. Now, back in 1988, he had that violent incident happen to him in L.A., random act, and he was shot in the throat. So he made a recovery from that, but that was a little tricky, and there was some depression involved. I just found out like a couple of hours ago that Larry had a horseback riding accident in October, just several days ago, and he had to cancel all his gigs for the next several weeks. So I'm hoping that he's going to be doing that Green's Grocery gig or two in Leaper's Fork in Tennessee, and we'll see how things go. Please keep him in your prayers. He's been through a lot. He really has, and turned out such great music. Oh, God bless him. Love him. Terry Lynn Carrington, we heard. Let me tell you something. More than two decades in the music business and 2 weeks' worth of why you should be listening to this particular CD, Mosaic Project. Have a reason for every day of those 14 days, okay, 2 weeks' worth. Diane Reeves, D.D. Bridgewater, Nona Hendricks, Cassandra Wilson, Helen Sung, Tenneke Postma, Jerry Allen, Patrice Rushen, Ingrid Jensen, Sheila E., Gretchen Parlato, and Chia Yin Carol Ma, along with Terry Lynn Carrington. Esperanza Spalding was doing the vocalization on that track, Unconditional Love, which was written by Jerry Allen, and yes, an all-female project, one of the hottest CDs you will lay your mitts on. Mosaic Project, you can get this anywhere, and of course Terry Lynn Carrington has a great website, and I'm telling you, if you ever see any combination of any of those ladies doing their thing, please go see them. Support these kinds of creative efforts, because it's the reason why I'm doing the show. Just so exciting to hear what people are thinking to do outside of the box in jazz. God bless them. Sinead O'Connor, boy, that's really outside of the box. Am I Not Your Girl, the name of the CD, which was a foray into cover songs, for lack of a better word. Sinead O'Connor, you could say a whole lot about Sinead, and we won't, because you know some of it. Black coffee is what she did, and named, just an interesting fact, after Sinead de Valera, wife of the Irish president at the time and mother of the doctor presiding over the delivery of Sinead. That girl had more abuse in her childhood than you could possibly know. Even got national press about it because her father, mother, and dad were estranged. They got divorced, and dad wanted to get custody of the three kids and went to the country of Ireland to plead his case. Mother and dad even got into it on a radio show. It's been really weird for Sinead. And the good news is that we all make mistakes in life, and Sinead is coming back fresh. She's newly shaven on her head, and she's going to have a new CD out 2012. That's all you need to know. She's a good girl. She's just had some really rough breaks, and she's got a superior talent, as we all pretty much know. Now, let's turn our attention, shall we, before we get to Greg Manning at the top of the next hour. We're really excited about this. Greg and I have this connection. Can't explain it. And if we knew why it was, it would lose its mystery. He is just a formidable talent. And when you hear some of these tunes, in case you have not heard The Calling, which was released last year, your mind will be blown. Mark Mosley, another guitarist. We just heard one. Let's play somebody local, shall we? We heard a couple of D.C. talents this hour. This is Baltimore. Mark Mosley has a career in the military and also in education. He is one of those guitar players where you stand back and go, oh, really? Yes. This is from TLC, a new release. This is called A Night in Baltimore on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yes. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
How about that? Woo! Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy and Micah Chevalier. We played that song for you for the first time a couple of weeks ago. There she is doing her vocal thing with longtime friend and collaborator Daoud Saeed on keyboard in a sentimental mood. The song written by Duke Ellington back in 1935 and done so many times by so many people, but just love that version of that song when it's spare like that. You can find out all about Micah at MicahMYCAH.net. Please do that because there are some gigs coming up this week. And my God, she has so much lined up through the new year. Micah not only has her Rue project that she oversees, she is the head of the Rue project, and she's got that going on. She also is a part of Guilty Pleasures, which is one of those groups that's getting a large buzz, not only in this region, Baltimore, D.C., and parameters around, but beyond, across the water. So Micah Chevalier with Daoud Saeed in a sentimental mood, that is brand new. Micah.net is going to have you the whole gamut of information as to when you can get a hold of that, because that is just so new that Micah recently got the rights to do it, and we're just so thrilled because it's just a reflection of what is happening in this region as far as amazing creativity and folks wanting to get back to the roots of things. Like that song, for example, had a lyric added after Duke Ellington wrote the music by Irving Mills and Manny Kurtz. And from what I understand doing research, Duke Ellington got the idea for that song because he was trying to quell a disturbance with a couple of women one night. As fate would have it, he just got the idea for that song on the spur of the moment with a woman on either side of the piano, and that's how the song was written. Mark Mosley, we'll do this quickly because Greg Manning is waiting for us and we want to get to music. We'll have to stay over a little bit. That's cool. Greg Manning is worth every second. Mark Mosley, we heard from, based in Baltimore, a song about Baltimore called A Night in Baltimore. If you want to know more information about Mark, please go to guitarist Mark Mosley, that's MOSLEY.com. Where Mark is going to be is all there, and it'll give you a hefty indication of what his background is because it's both military and educational. Real nice stuff on TLC, the name of that CD. And here we are, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Been waiting for this moment for a while, actually, because knowing about Greg Manning a few years ago and then reacquainting myself with the music from The Calling has been a really interesting trip in these past several days. This was one of those times, more than any other time that I can recall since the show has started, I actually, Greg, did not know what to play because I love every track on this bloody CD so much that I couldn't figure out what I wanted to play. You, sir, you scare me, Greg Manning. Can I just tell you that?
Don't be scared, Trish.
No, you scare me. Your talent is so out of the universe. And if folks don't realize what we mean by that, what I mean by that, because Greg is too humble to say that, he'll say a lot of what the facts are, and his background is formidable. But when you delve into The Calling and see the breadth of scope here, it's crazy. I just love it, and I'll just shut up and let you talk now.
Thank you, Trish. Thank you for this wonderful introduction. Really appreciate
it. Oh, my goodness.
It.
It's so good to talk to you. And
likewise.
You're such a busy guy. Greg, apart from the fact that you've got this amazing Nigeria by way of Switzerland, coming to mm-hmm. Berkeley, then to L.A. background, and mm-hmm. with the awards and nominations and what you do, you do it all. What is your given day like? What are your days like these days?
Oh, it's actually interesting because, you know, it's always changing. It's never the same. I've been busy with playing on other people's records. You know, sometimes I get up and do a session. I played on Catmull's new record. I played on Terry Wallman's new record. So sometimes I do studio stuff. And lately I do a lot of composing. So I don't have to get out of the house. I stay here in my little studio and I just compose. I did a score for a documentary that is amazingly, it's a documentary, usually not very popular, but it actually made it into the cinemas in Switzerland. It's called The Visual Language of Herbert Natter. Nobody knows him, but he was a very influential Swiss graphics artist. You know, stuff like desktop publishing, even Photoshop, would not be possible without him.
Really?
And the Swiss director, Reto Kaduf, he invited me to do the score. It was very, very interesting for me to really learn about this Swiss guy. He passed a couple of decades ago, but just to learn about his life and trying to come up with a score that would actually support the visuals was very interesting.
Well,
Go ahead.
No, I mean, honestly, nobody can do it quite like you because you have immersed yourself in these different cultures. No kidding. I heard the term used for you. I never heard this before, only as it has applied to you. An internationality.
I'm totally mixed. You know, my parents, my biological father, he's African-American. My mom is half Italian, half Swiss, and I think I even have some Native American blood in me. So total mixture.
And I love that. And you have toured all over the world, and it doesn't surprise me that you're focusing on doing some work at home because, after all, Greg, that's the reason you wanted to pull yourself off the road because you really have done a lot of work. You have shared the stage with a lot of folks, and it was driving you crazy after a while, wasn't it? You just wanted to be with family.
Yes, absolutely. I'm impressed to remember that from our last conversation. I have a 9-year-old son now, and it came to a point where I was like, you know, do I want to live at home or in hotel rooms? So, a couple of years ago, I used to travel with Jonathan Butler, and we played a lot. We played in Africa, we played in Europe, in this country, in the U.S. We really traveled a lot.
Oh, yeah. You were his music director for a long time.
Yes, I was a very, you know, very special time, very fun time, and I'm very grateful to Jonathan, even though we don't really talk lately. Very grateful to this guy because we met at Berklee College of Music.
Oh wow!
Many years ago, a professor invited him to give a master clinic, and the professor also put a band together, and I was in this band. And I've always been a huge fan of Jonathan's. And I got to play with him. I think that was 91, if I'm not mistaken. So I got to play with my hero in that Berklee College of Music band. And we hit it off. And a couple of years later, I had my TV band in Switzerland. And
yeah.
Jonathan was invited to that TV show. And we met again. And after that, he actually asked me to come over and play in his band, which was an amazing experience for me.
Well, I know a little bit about Jonathan Butler, and the little bit I know gives me any indication that he doesn't really tolerate mediocrity in any way, shape, or form. Because he's been doing his thing for a long time. So he knew that you were a 3-time certified platinum producer for Universal Music over in Switzerland. He knew that you composed, arranged, produced, and was a keyboard king, still are. And that's what sold him. I mean, he only surrounds himself with people that make him look good. So that was a big feather in your cap to be with him for as long as you were.
Yes, yeah. It was just an amazing time. We've traveled together to many continents, and his talent is incredible. The way he's connected to his voice, the way he's connected to his instrument, it's one of a kind, really, really special. Yeah.
Well, the spirituality factor is huge too, because Jonathan just adheres to a different code, and I whenever I see that there's an assembly of talent like Jonathan Butler and Kirk Franklin, I pretty much know that there's going to be some soul restoration involved in that concert. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
A long time ago, a friend of mine in Atlanta used to tell me, you know, after Jonathan leaves the stage, there's always kind of a mist leaving behind. And I think that's a spiritual thing. It's more than just the music.
Oh, yeah. And actually, you know, with the calling, Greg, I have to say that each of those tunes have their own separate healing. I just love the fact that you allowed yourself to be free and to roam. And it's funny, I wanted to call you on this because one of the quotes, anytime somebody does any research about Greg Manning, there is a quote that you have, and I get the biggest tickle out of it because I decided to call my show, not having read this, I read it after I called my show Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You said about the calling that you didn't want it to be some hybrid thing that doesn't please anybody.
Yes. You know what, Trish? It's actually funny because, you know, hindsight is always 20/20.
Right.
When I look back, my album is actually a hybrid thing. You know,
I
think I still managed to have a common thread going through the production, through the choices of tunes. But, you know, it's not a pure classic jazz record in that sense. It's not a smooth jazz record. It's not a funk record. So, scratch that. I think I was wrong.
I just love it because actually what it is pure music. That is for sure. And you have elements. You can't help it, Greg. I mean, you were born in Nigeria and you grew up in Switzerland. You've got these multicultural influences. So when I hear a song, and I'm just going to put it out there because I love this song and have loved it for as long as it has been out. Yeke, yeke, yo?
Yes.
Okay. That to me is the definitive song that sort of makes a new level for artists to jump to as far as creativity is involved. You have world influences in that. It sounds urban, it's soulful, it's hopeful. It just is a soaring song. You don't know where you're going to go with that song. I just love it. I'm not even going to shut up about it because I love it so much.
You are so funny. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And it's interesting to me what you just mentioned about freedom, because when I started composing for my CD, I just got off, like, I did four seasons of Swiss Idol. I went back to Switzerland, did that. And I was kind of burned out on the commercial tip. So when I was back home in L.A., I thought, let's not think about anything commercial. And I really just want to write music. Whatever comes to my mind, whatever I hear, I just want to, you know, pencil. I just want to do a sketch and then see from where I go there. And basically, Yeke Yeke just happened.
It just happened, really?
Yes, yeah. I think really it just happened. It just came out. And in a way, I really believe, you know, composers, we don't really compose. There's some kind of spiritual element to it. I think composers, we just hone our antennas. That's just a tool, but I think we actually do not really know where compositions, where music comes from. I think in a way we're just antennas.
And that's really interesting that you should say that, because Joy and I had Keiko Matsui on Cool Jazz Conversations a couple of weeks ago, She more or less said that she feels as though she's just the conduit. Songs come to her, and they are gifts, and she just lets her fingers go where the keys are supposed to go.
Yes, yes. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow.
My mantra lately is, get out of the way and, let just the music do the talking. I think when you really get rid of the ego, what you think is wrong or right, music tends to flow much better.
Yeah. How about that? And you know what, though, Greg, as you do know, to get out of the way and to devoid yourself of ego, that's an evolutionary process. Not everybody has attained that enlightenment yet.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely right. And I think, on my journey, the spiritual part is important, very influential. And I've been studying Nichiren Buddhism for many years. And I think it helped me just to put things into perspective.
Well, I am really even more excited now that you have said that you did yeke-yeke-yo as almost a spontaneous act, because that gives me hope that there are maybe other artists out there who will feel the need to make sure that when they have an idea, it gets written down or done. You never hold these ideas in, because if you do, you're going to lose the gift that has been given to you. And this was a gift, Greg. Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate it. And I think, Yeke is a very unconventional tune. In the middle, there's a large orchestral section. I think, in general, some composers, some musicians, they restrain themselves. They think about radio, they think about a lot of commercial stuff, and sometimes, it just stands in the way of good music.
And that's funny, because this, to me, one of the words I was thinking of, and I think that we discussed this when you were on Cool Jazz Conversations, going back some time now, we discussed the idea of how beautiful this piece would be in a soundtrack for a movie, because it's just so unbridled. There's a lot of unbridled joy in here, and for the listener to feel a kind of hope and that kind of joy in listening to a song, you've accomplished more than most can in their lifetime. You know that.
Oh, I don't know about that, Trish, but thank you for saying that.
Let's just let this chat room think what they want, because we've got a lot of folks in the chat room. And if anybody wants to ask a question, they can feel free, because I've got all the folks, our usuals here, but we've had a few extra guests today. And I'm going to play for them your song from The Calling, which is one of the coolest projects that you are going to hear. This is called Yeke Yeke Yo from Greg Manning on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Now, the only thing wrong with that song is that it's not long enough, that's for sure. That is Greg Manning. And Greg, please tell me what that means, yeke, yeke, ya, or yo.
You know, so many people ask me about that, and it's actually a made-up language.
Is it?
Yes. I just liked the sound of certain syllables, and I thought it sounded kind of African, so I made up this language. To me, it just evokes a positive feeling.
Well, you certainly got that. You got that in more ways than one, because I've played it, I don't know how many times now, but each time I do, it's an energizer. I get up out of my chair and start to do things that I do. I've been putting on the CD lately and doing that. It's, wow, you have been the chosen child lately around this house.
Wow, thank you for that honor.
No, you really have, because to have heard the calling at one time, you know, when it first came out, and then lately with new ears to hear, because that happens a lot, and I bless those occasions when you have new ears to hear different sounds. And, you know, I was hearing Keb Mo, and I'm hearing Kirk, and I heard Tribal Sphere, which I love. And you just said the song that we just heard, Yeke Yeke Yo, you felt something that was deeply rooted in you, having been born in Nigeria. I feel those ancient rhythms, and it goes one place and then it goes another. And man, isn't that what music is supposed to do?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, thank you for mentioning that, and thank you for listening to the record with new ears. It's sometimes interesting. It happens to me a lot. You step back from a composition, or you step back from the album for a couple of months. You go back, and it does sound different because, you know, we never walk to the same river. So we change, and somehow these records change.
And about the journey that you've had in listening with new ears, it just seems like a lot has changed in the climate of music or in contemporary jazz these days since Joy and I talked to you. What do you see, how do you feel about the climate of, I back away deliberately from the word smooth jazz because that's not something that I pretend to do on this show. I want people to understand that there's all different kinds of jazz that I play, nobody is going to pigeonhole me. And I think that you feel that same way, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, me personally, I was never crazy about the term smooth jazz. To me, the term is just wrong. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really make sense.
Right.
But to be honest with you, Trish, I haven't really followed that much, you know, what's going on in contemporary jazz or smooth jazz. I've been not really in a cocoon, but I think on purpose, I have not been listening to a lot of other stuff lately.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be harsh about that, but it's good because...
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. You are following your own muse and your own drummer. And sometimes you lose your focus when you drift away and start to listen to other pieces when you know, you just explained it a couple of minutes ago, you know instinctively what to do and realize that your fingers are going to lead the way for you.
Yeah, I think that is very true. It is sometimes, you know, it's very easy for me to listen to the radio and then come up with tunes that sound exactly what I hear on the radio. But I think it's also a big trap, you know. I think the keyword is artist. Every artist, he or she has to find a voice, a inner voice. And sometimes I think, especially in smooth jazz, that's kind of lacking. But you know, I'm not here to judge genres or people. You know, everybody does what he or she feels is right.
Well, you would hope that, because honestly, if they don't do what you have just suggested, which is to follow that inner voice, what kind of real music are you turning out to people?
That is a very good question. Yeah.
The great artists did not do copies of what other people did. They bucked the system. They actually went through some degradation at times in order to spotlight what was in their soul, as opposed to being a reflection of what somebody else has already done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, especially commercially, sometimes being a pioneer or living in that spirit, it doesn't pay. Sometimes it's people that follow certain trends that are, you know, that do better. On that, I have to say, in general, you know, independent radio, they really love my record. They play it a lot. But like terrestrial smooth jazz stations, they don't play it at all.
Well, Greg, it's not because, oh boy, here we go. It's not because you are not among the most shining, because you, to me, far surpass what is the usual out there. It's just because, as you know, there are decisions made within that realm that have nothing to do with talent, but everything to do with the person making the decisions.
Right.
And we're being vague enough to get the point across, but not specific, because we really can't be specific, but you know what I'm talking about.
I think I do know. And, you know, I think after all, at the end of the day, it's all good. It's all good. Some people make music for other purposes, but I think true musicians, they do music because they just love music. They love the art.
Well, and you do that, and you actually are getting played at the places where you are supposed to be getting airplay. Lest anybody confuse you with anybody else who is on any kind of smooth jazz chart, you are not like anybody else. The experience that you've had and sharing the stage with Kirk and Richard Elliott and Patty Austin and Mark Antoine, Will Downing, Jonathan Butler for all that time, and there's a whole bunch more, all that experience you gleaned in Switzerland, then coming to the U.S. to study at Berkeley, and then moving to L.A., people can't touch that kind of diversity in your background. So that is going to lend itself to what you create as far as music is concerned. And actually, to be perfectly honest, what you do makes other work by other artists seem just vanilla. Like one color.
I don't know about that, because, you know, I mean, everybody hears music differently, and I always hate to talk in absolutes and say this is good music, this is bad music. But I tend to agree, especially traveling. I've been traveling a lot in my life, and I think it really opens up your horizon.
It does.
You just look at life. Yeah, you just look at life differently. And it also made me feel that I'm very privileged to do that.
Oh, and my gosh, you can't help it. You absorb even when you're not even trying. Because if you're going to be in Africa, South Africa, for example, you get caught up in the sounds that you hear there. You go to Nice, and you get caught up in the music that the locals are doing there. And that's the difference, Greg. Wherever you go, because you love music so much, You're listening to what local people are doing, and you absorb that. And it comes out in what you do and the calling. It's all over the calling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, all musicians, composers, we are like sponges, you know. No man is an island. So we always get influenced by our surroundings.
Well, and it's funny. When you're in L.A. now, because that's where you're based, what do you feel is the music vibe in Los Angeles? What do you see happening? Do you see any trends happening as far as music? What's the jazz scene like there? Are you holed up writing a whole lot and you don't get out? Or is there a buzz that you see building?
I'm trying to do, with my own band, I'm trying to do more live gigs. There's a new club called Levels in San Pedro. We're going to perform there at the end of the month. But what's fun, you know, L.A. is such a big city.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 12 million, 15 million people. But the jazz scene, as far as I can tell, is not very vibrant. We have Catalina Bar and Grill. There's a few other clubs, but I'm always surprised. Even the baked potato.
I just heard Rick Braun was talking about that the other day.
But before I moved to LA, in Switzerland, I always heard about the baked potato, and I thought it's this grandiose big club, but it's actually more like a hole in the wall.
Very small. Yeah,
so
but you know what? Thank God for those little holes in the wall because
absolutely.
Oh my gosh. We have some clubs in this region that house very few people, and you can really have that one-to-one relationship. I know you enjoy that with people in the audience because they get so caught up in seeing you so close up that you just, I mean, it just takes on a second life. Playing a big hall is cool, but that intimacy of people being close to you, almost breathing on you, and then you hear their sharp intake of breath because you've just thrilled them, that must be a high.
Oh, absolutely. And I never want to stop doing that. You know, staying at my studio, composing, it's great, but just getting the immediate feedback from the audience, that's a whole different level. I really like that.
Yeah. I trust me when I tell you that a lot of disc jockeys or people who do these kinds of hosting jobs are frustrated musicians or people who aspired to be singers or whatever and really shouldn't be doing that. To get that kind of vibe and know from osmosis almost that artists must be feeling a certain way when they're on stage and see people who are thrilled clapping for you. Oh my gosh, you've been doing this for a long time, so you know that rush.
Yes, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, music with a live audience, it's like an exchange of energy. You give them something, they respond, you pick it up, and you take it to another level. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, Trish, just by the way, on a whole different note, when I was listening, before we started talking, I was listening to your song, and you played the version of In a Sentimental Mood.
Yes.
That rendition, that was beautiful. I really loved that.
Wow.
That's especially the piano player, crazy.
His name is Daoud Saeed, and he has toured with Najee and Walter Beasley and Angela Bothiel, and he's a composer. He's based in Baltimore, and the singer was his good friend, Micah Chevalier, and she's in the chat room right now listening to you.
Oh, wow. What a surprise.
Yes.
No, that version blew my mind. Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, that's good to hear. Oh, well, Daoud will know that today, and Micah, I'm sure, is thrilled. That's great to know. Yeah, how about that? Turning out music. In these, just that, we were saying that local Micah is based in D.C., and she's getting some airplay across the water, and she's been doing her thing for a long time, so is Daoud. And when you hear the great sounds that where you go from city to city, it is mind-blowing, isn't it? That's so cool that you would say that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think in great music, it's just a common connection. It's not really about the notes, but more about the sincerity, the intensity, how you play your instrument.
That's
I definitely felt that in that version.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so cool that you would do that. Thank you. You and I have been corresponding for a bit for the past few days, and I had asked you if you had any preferences for songs to play from The Calling. And one of the songs that you said, well, you can do anything you want, but you do like the title track. Tell me about how you arrived at The Calling, that song in particular.
I started that song a long time ago when we still lived in Atlanta. You know, so sometimes, as I said, sometimes I just sit down and the songs just pour out of me. And sometimes it's really work. And for some reason, I was never really happy with all the versions I've done of The Calling until I did the final version. And I don't know. It's just something that flows nicely, I think. And I'm very happy about the harmonica player on the final version.
Patrick, is that Patrick?
Yes, it's Patrick.
Wow.
I never know how to pronounce his last name. He's originally from Australia. I think it's Bettison. Bettison.
Bettison.
Sure.
I think that's it. Yes.
Okay. He's an amazing harmonica player. I love his choice of notes, his sound, and he's as good on bass as he's on harmonica. It's really scary.
Well, you are. And the reason why I asked about The Calling is because I had read that you were going through something that really spoke to you about your particular path in music, and you wanted to follow where you were supposed to go so that it wasn't confused with anybody else's journey. Am I more or less getting that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think when I wrote it, I mean, I went through so many different versions of The Calling, but after I left Jonathan, I did a lot of commercial stuff. As I told you, I was musical director for Swiss Idol.
Yes.
And after four seasons, I just needed to take a break and get away and basically just, you know, not think about commercial stuff. Just do music as I heard it, and that's how I came up with this arrangement of The Calling.
Well, it's one of those songs that there's been a couple of times just today, because I've listened to it for the umpteenth time, and I got up and went, oh, just let me sit here and listen to this. just let me figure out what I'm supposed to do in a given day. This sort of clarifies things in a way that is, it gets into your spirit and it sort of awakens you. And I'll let people judge for themselves as to what it does for them. This is Greg Manning, our guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And this is a song called The Calling, title track from his CD that was released last year, and we'll tell you where you can get it. But first, listen. Thank you. It's just so wild when you hear a song at different times, and then you hear it. Here we are, Greg Manning, on the radio or on the show, and I'm listening to it again, and it just makes me understand why I like the CD, The Calling, so much. When you have a combination of both songs that sound familiar to you, though you know that you've never heard them, it just is something that stirs, that seems familiar, like home or family or times back when, and you get memory stirred, and then you also get the unexpected. That's a pretty exciting combination. When you have all of that on one CD, you did that.
Wow. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
That's a huge compliment. Thank you, Trish.
Oh, you're welcome. I just really do appreciate your work so much, and I'm not alone. Micah Chevalier is still in the chat room, and she said that she has checked out your work, and she loves what you do, too. So thank you for the compliment for her, and she returns it.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
That's really wonderful. What would you like to have happen to you? Here we are, November the 1st. We got two more months,
yes,
and the year is gone.
Yes.
What would you like to see have happen in 2012 for you?
Very good question. You know, I'm thinking about something crazy. And instead of releasing one record, I'm actually working on three.
Oh.
And in a way, it ties into this hybrid thing. common theme in my life. As a composer, I do so many different styles. I want to continue doing the soul jazz thing that I started on The Calling. But there's also I don't want to say new age, but kind of a spiritual side to me. Are you familiar with, he's a Swiss guy as well, Andreas Sollenweider?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. And his music always talked to me, always liked his music. And I'm thinking about doing a record in a similar fashion, similar spirit.
Oh, my gosh, yes, definitely. Oh, please, because your music already has elements of that. I mean, you are at home in that element. So, yes, do that.
Yes, it's funny you say that because, you know, I was never really aware of that. But so many people keep telling me that there's this big spiritual element to my music. It's just uplifting, something that really touches their souls. And I never consciously compose like that, but it's interesting. I want to develop this a little further. And I'm probably the biggest Stevie Wonder fan there is.
And apparently Patrick is too, because I heard a little Stevie in what Patrick did on that harmonica in The Calling.
Yes. I think that's why I love his phrasing so much, because it's similar to Stevie's playing of the harmonica. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm also doing songs. That's how I started in Switzerland. That's how I got into the charts in Switzerland, writing songs with lyrics and singers. And I have not done that in a while. I want to release a record with the songs. And as a matter of fact, you know, instead of looking forward, I want to go back. I love Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life album.
Kind
of 70s feel to it. I want to replicate that. And most of all, I'm proud of what I did with The Calling. But a lot of it, just for budget reasons, it was done, you know, programming with computers. For my next record, I really want to work with a band, with real life musicians, get together in a studio and just record it.
Oh, good. That's awesome. And gosh, it's funny because just played Larry Carlton before you came on the show with me, and I just found out that Larry, who I respect a great deal because he's been doing this forever, Larry wanted to go back and recreate the sound of Philadelphia. So that's his new CD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that so? Yeah. People have a hunger. Do you think this, Greg? People have a hunger for what it was that made them feel alive. It sounds like you're wanting to go back and recreate that for people.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this lately. I got turned on to music kind of late. I really started listening to music when I was maybe 12 or 13. Before then, I was never really interested in music. And when I heard Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life, especially Isn't She Lovely,
yeah.
I was like, whoa, what is that? I want to do that. And I think just something at this early age, as a teenager, I think something happens in our brain, must be brain chemistry. When you really start listening to music at that age, there's a deep, deep connection to the way the music feels. And also, I've worked with computers for a long time. I think it's a great tool. But, you know, at the end of the day, they cannot replace human beings. And I've just gotten tired of trying to sound like a drummer, trying to sound like a bass player. You know, why not hire the real deal and use a real drummer, real bass player? And I think people in general, the industry is coming back to that.
Well, you know what? It really does depend on the person who is the, for lack of a better word, band leader.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to do so much in the calling because of who you are. And this is why probably so many people speak to you about pursuing there must be a better and newer term for this, but new age music. The only people that can truly do the new age music or this atmospheric music that you feel compelled to do, that's another part of you, are people who are serene. There's a serenity in you that many do not have. It would be just absolute folly for somebody who is a type A personality, who's more chihuahua than human being, to do an album full of music that is meant to heal spirits.
So
when you come into the picture and you want to do what you label as soul jazz for the calling, you are able to pull off what computers can do because of who you are. You infuse whatever it is with this serenity that speaks more than you possibly could if you were talking.
Wow, that's a strong statement, and I think it's very true, very true.
Yeah,
I'm not the most eloquent person, but I think, you know, music is really, it is deeper than words. There's a deep power within that music.
That's how you communicate. This is what you were born to do, obviously. So when your music speaks, it says what you do not. And that's all people need. That's what they're supposed to have, and any, you know this, anytime you come out on stage and you do that song, the people who are supposed to hear it are going to have the ears to hear, and they walk away refreshed, enlightened, healed, and they're ready to take on the new tasks. This is what you do, Greg Manning.
All right.
Well, this is cool. You have a lot of work cut out for you then in 2012.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I hope I'm working on that. I hope I get more busy, more active with my own bands. I've been playing, you know, local gigs for other people, which is great. I love doing it. But I also want to focus more on my band.
That's cool. And that means that you would leave L.A. and do a little bit of touring, or are you just talking about locally there?
Well, I would love to do that, But I found out with the calling, my CD is at this level as a new artist, it's very hard to break into festivals and really, you know, travel within the U.S., go to different states. It will take me probably a couple of years to break into that. Right now, I'm just talking about local or maybe
yeah.
in California. That would be great, you know, just traveling within California, go to different venues and play with my band. I hope to do that more next year in 2012.
Well, that's funny, Greg, because I don't think a single person that I know of thinks of you as somebody who hasn't broken into the industry. I think that people think of you as international and internationally known. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to take a lot less time. It just depends on what you do. If you have a release of one of these projects that you're discussing, people are going to want to see you out and about in different cities in the U.S. for sure, because there's a whole lot of people that you need to blow away.
Thank you. You're a word in God's ear. Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
Okay, good, because I wasn't sure. I knew that you wanted to get off the road for a while because, gosh, you have been everywhere in the world. But, yeah, it's about time that audiences got to see you anew. And any one of these different CDs that you have in mind, my God, that would be just awesome. And you have to promise that Baltimore, D.C. is one of those stops.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's on the map. Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
And we've got the perfect venues for you. There's Ram's Head in Annapolis, which would be wonderful because it...
played there before,
Oh, okay. So you know it's an intimate kind of venue and there's not a bad seat. And people get to really get immersed in the music because it's so close. And there's actually a few places more. There are places popping up that are really wanting to get new music infused in their venues or restaurants or clubs. So we'll keep in touch, and we'll figure this plan out, Greg. Is that cool?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you. It was great.
Oh, no, this has been a treat, and I know that I'm going to let you go, and I promised folks that I was going to play three pieces of music, and I do want to play another track that is one of those exceptional tracks, because I heard somebody, when they heard this song, compare you to Joe Zawinul, who is one of the all-time great keyboardists, who wrote the song Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. And Cannonball Adderley, of course, took that out of the stratosphere. But Joe and you do have some similarities because of the backgrounds of both of you. Joe brought to the table. Yeah, didn't he? I mean,
I never thought about it, but he's from my neighbor country. He was Austrian, absolutely.
Yes, and what he did to infuse Weather Report. Oh, my God, what? People weren't used to hearing those kinds of influences in their everyday jazz. And this is what you do. So it's interesting that I heard somebody say that, and I thought, that really is the case. You bring to the table something fresh, and you'll never lose sight of that, I hope, that you never lose the fact that your gift has nothing to do with anybody else's. It's just yours.
I'll always remember that. I'll make sure of that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for spending so much time with us. I appreciate you more than words can say.
Thank you, Trish. I really appreciate your support. And let's do it again for my three records next year.
Oh, let's do that. And where can people go to the best methodology for folks to pick up the calling? Where can they go, Greg?
Oh, okay. They can go to iTunes, do a digital download. Just put in Greg Manning, The Calling. And the physical CDs are available on cdbaby.com.
Great. And actually, I got mine through Amazon. I forgot. Yep. I did my MP3 download, and it's just as simple as that. And that's what it should be. And, man, got enough music now to last me for a while. Got my Greg Manning calling CD. I'm good to go.
Excellent.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful night. And thank you again. And we will keep in touch. I'll be writing to you from time to time to figure out what kind of progress you're making and what's going to come first in 2012. And I hope that God blesses you big time for what you're doing, because your heart, Greg, is so pure, and it's evident in your music.
Thank you, Trish. Really appreciate it. Have a great evening, too.
You too. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's the kind of interview that I thought it would be, because when you meet somebody, and my sister friend Griselda has said this, and I know this to be true, she said in the chat room, he is so humble. And he is. And that's why his music has such the ring of truth in it. And I appreciate Allie O and Micah for stopping by, and the guests that have been back and forth. Some guests do not reveal who they are, and that's cool as long as folks are listening. I'm going to play this last track from Greg Manning from The Calling. This is called Tribal Sphere. Ooh, you'll enjoy this. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Bye.
Yes, I told you, didn't I tell you? Greg Manning right there. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is a cool song, Tribal Sphere, hearkening to Nigerian roots, I think. Yeah, I think so. From The Calling, that is. And thank you again to Greg Manning. That was just so much fun to be able to spend some time with him and catch up and know that he's working on some projects that make him excited. That's all we ask. Are you excited about what you do? Do you want to do music that is a positive force in people's lives? Oh, I just love it. Now, I got to tell you about a couple of things. We heard Micah Chevalier with Daoud Saeed a little while ago in a sentimental mood. That song is going to be available soon. Keep in touch with Micah via Micah, MYCAH.net, okay? Do that. And thank you again to Alio and to Micah and to Griselda, to our other folks who have been in the chat room back and forth today. Listen, Thursday's going to be a little interesting because I thought one of the guests was going to be on next Tuesday. Turns out we'll have two guests on Thursday. We got to figure out how we'll work this because they're both vocalists. One's male, one's female. Carla Chisholm has got a new CD that's coming out in just a few weeks. She is one of those gals in the local region that is really getting some buzz. She'll be here, and Slim Man will be here too. We'll figure out all the parameters. Be here for right now, anyway, at 2 o'clock on Thursday on Blog Talk Radio. God bless. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.